Welcome to the podcast From Plow to Plate with founder and farmer Sam Lucy, who alongside his wife Brooke operate Bluebird Grain Farms in the Metow Valley in north central Washington State, growing, processing, and marketing organic grains.
Sam and I are here, and I think in nearly every episode we have made reference to things like subsidies, and we've always put a pin in it. And so this is going to kind of deal with the politics around agriculture. For instance, as we're recording this today, there's a war going on in Ukraine, the breadbasket of that region, critical to Europe and Russia, and they're fighting over it, which is going to be just hellacious for their growing season and their crops.
Food is probably the most fought over thing going back in time. Some people are worried about energy independence. What comes to my mind first is food independence, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's an age-old war. One of the very sad things to me about this war is we are repeating that in this day and age. I think I've mentioned in past podcasts, Ukraine had some of the most beautiful organic farms in the world prior to the Soviet curtain falling. It's a control on the ports where so much grain is shipped in and out of. It's a control of the commodity. As you mentioned, this spring, there's not a lot of planting that's going to be going on in Ukraine or Russia. So we're talking about the global system here because a lot of the grain out of both those countries is exported. They're number two in export. A lot of it goes to the third world countries, and so unfortunately they're going to get hit first.
Oh, man.
But let's take a look at our food system in this country. We're so fortunate to have so many natural resources, but how much longer can we abuse them?
The piper will ask to be paid here eventually.
Absolutely. I think that when you have an abundance of anything, there's no incentive to change.
Yeah.
So how about we start right with the Farm Bill?
Okay, what's that about?
So the Farm Bill, when the big bank bailout happened back whenever.
There was one in 08, yeah.
So I did chuckle in a sick way, and I thought, well, the only difference between the bank bailout and the Farm Bill is the Farm Bill comes around every 4 years. A lot of people don't know all that's encompassed in the Farm Bill. Doesn't matter which side of your aisle you're on. Farming by name is a good thing to support. So it started with FDR after the Dust Bowl, and it was, as many government programs are, the inception of it was constructive and trying to solve a problem. And the problem was we need to give the farmers of this country stability in the marketplace, give them a rock bottom pricing so that they can operate.
Okay, so it's something that won't go below.
Yeah,
they won't
something
be put
that
out.
Sustains them
yeah.
no matter what happens.
Okay.
So that's in the late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
In time, it gets abused. And so now, fast forward to today, we have the big commodities, wheat, corn, soy. What's mostly grown now in the Midwest are heavily subsidized crops that rely on heavy inputs.
Meaning fertilizers and pesticides.
Pesticides. Farmers still are dealing with weather. They're dealing with all sorts of these things, but it eliminates so much risk compared to the true free market, which we organic farmers have embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine, of course, got a chance to embrace free market after a while. They weren't prepared to start with, but they eventually did. And they're kind of like, oh, we like this. You know, okay. We like our independence. And of course, now they're willing to fight for it.
So I think you're alluding to a type of intervention from the Farm Bill, encouraging the use of heavy inputs, a type of unsustainable farming. Is that what you're saying?
Crops are grown for volume.
Volume, okay.
There's no real nutritional value system on the crops. They're grown on volume. The more, the better.
Okay.
So a lot of taxpayers don't realize part of their taxes go to subsidize farming that is using up a tremendous amount of our resources.
Mm-hmm.
Water, topsoil, fertilizer, herbicides. You know, this is how we are used to, as a country, quote, cheap food.
Right.
We spend 10% or less of our income on food in this country. Almost nowhere else in the world is food that cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, though, if you figure in what comes out of your taxes to support these crops, you might be paying more like 20% of your income.
Yeah.
And so it's complicated. It's sort of like pulling the dams out of the Columbia. Some people might think that's the right thing to do, but can you really do it?
Mm-hmm.
can we just eliminate the farm bill and make it a level playing field for all?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big process. But meanwhile, I'm thinking as I listen to the news how prices are way up now because of the shortage. Particularly right. Wheat's become all of a sudden sexy again. A lot of wheat's going to go in this spring in this country. And yet fertilizer costs have gone way up. So it kind of offsets that. So maybe we really need to look at this. Why are we on this treadmill? It's been two generations at least of farmers that don't really know how to farm without all this stuff.
Right. And there seems to be that sort of collective amnesia of how it used to be done is forgotten.
Yeah. The way people farmed for many, many years is in many places on the big farms mm-hmm. is kind of lost. We were fortunate to be able to talk with Blaine earlier yeah. in the podcast about his systems on a large scale farm mm-hmm. and how his farm is independent. I mean, he needs a market, and he's created some of those markets, but his inputs are zero. And people like Blaine, who have stuck it out in the free market system
mm-hmm.
and grown with long-term regenerative practices,
yeah,
this is their heyday, and I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
Because they can maybe make a buck or two more than they're used yeah. to, and by God, they deserve it.
Yeah.
And at Bluebird, that's one reason we're supporting these guys. This is the future. I mean, you tie climate change into it. Whatever it is, we have got to get off the treadmill.
Yeah.
And as with most things in this country, including climate change, I'm afraid it has to be mandated. People okay. are not going to come to it on their own. There's got to be the right laws passed. There's got to be incentives to farm with regenerative practices
yeah.
to preserve what we have.
And I think you've mentioned this before. You sort of need to knock out the false supports.
The weaning needs to begin.
Yeah.
You can't do it all at once. It's just like growers we've worked with that are growing mm-hmm. non-organic that want to start growing. I tell them, you're crazy to do it all at once. Don't do it all at once. Keep your price-supported crops going as you make the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Farming's a long-term deal. It's about long-term relationships, particularly with the soil.
Well, that kind of makes me wonder, what sort of time span could a guy turn it around?
One of the amazing things, and there's so many amazing things about nature, but she will give you a chance to heal.
Yeah.
I don't know why anymore, but right. she still will. And we've watched nature heal on mm-hmm. its own, of course, locally with all the fires. And mm-hmm. so it's not a short-term thing, but has too much damage already been done? I can't answer that.
Maybe in some places, yes.
For sure in some places. Here's another thought. If people want to keep paying taxes for the farm subsidies, great. But let's support a different system. Take those monies and give it to the folks that are willing to try a different system mm-hmm. that we all know is a better system. It's going to be a slow process, slower probably than the actual ground could recover, okay. unfortunately. An example would be starting in what do they call the flyover states. Farmers pride themselves on being independent, not wanting government in their life. Well, the truth to tell is, if government wasn't in the average farmer's life growing these yeah. big commodities, they wouldn't be farming.
Yeah.
Wall Street gets in, too, buying up farmland. Rock stars, sports stars
oh, yeah.
own some of these big farms. You read it every year, you know, some basketball player got paid $2 million in farm subsidies. Truth to tell, it happens.
Yeah.
I think people need to be aware of this.
It
all starts with that, and I think that if we can educate more folks about this and it's put in their hands,
mm-hmm.
bring it to vote. Say, what are we going to do here? We can't keep going this way. And then you always hear the thing, you know, from Bayer Crop Science or what of them will say, well, GMOs, and it's the only way we're going to feed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just the opposite. I think the only way we're going to feed the world is start taking care of our earth, not use as many resources mm-hmm. to grow the same crop.
Yeah, something a little bit more homegrown, a little bit more the old way of doing things. I mean, Mother Nature was growing things before we showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And so fitting yeah. into that yeah. is a better pattern.
And it's this embattled view, and you hear whether you're fighting weeds or you're fighting, you know, you hear it in agriculture, you're fighting Mother Nature. And who do you think's going to win?
Right? Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot at stake here. Our well-being is at stake because you can take this all the way into our healthcare, right? What's that going to do to our healthcare system is suddenly healthy food is cheap. and yet it's got the nutrition in it that you used to have, just as the amaranth and the einkorn yeah. have the nutrition that wheat used to have in it.
Yeah.
So over many, many years, our population gets healthier.
Well, right.
Of course, the healthcare industry isn't going to really be in on that. By the way, some of them own some of the seed companies now, the pharmaceuticals
Do
and the
tell.
Seed companies. I mean, come on, let's straighten this out.
It actually is kind of diabolical when you sort of discover those things that, you know.
I mean, that's a whole separate thing, but you have to tie it to food. So when I hear the debates about the Farm Bill, or for instance, if I hear any public speaker not mention food and healthcare in the same paragraph, I tend to shut the radio off because it's so connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to taking care of what we have. And we still, after all the abuse, have so much in this country.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful country in so many ways. And one reason is because of our huge amount of natural resources. I do believe you have to think globally and act local, as they say. And I'm not opposed to a global commerce at all. But I am opposed to abuse. So rather than to go on about what might be wrong, how do we solve this issue? And I think I'd like to bring that back to what we talked about where, okay, let's start subsidizing better farm practices.
Right.
Little by little even.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean you're, okay, all fertilizers getting cut off. And you got, you know, you can't do it that way. You have to do it little by little. Let's put some solid incentives out there to grow crops that use less water. Get your soil in better shape so you don't need as much water.
Yeah.
Or need as much fertility. Grow more of your nutrition, all part of the regenerative path. But let's help guys do this. Let's take these subsidies and help these guys. I know a number of non-organic growers, wheat growers and other, and I would say at least half of them do not like the way they're farming. They know there's a better way, but they're stuck.
They can't get
out,
yeah.
They can't get out of it, and they're strapped to the banks. That is an awful fate, to be doing something every day that you know isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's help these guys. And I have some suggestions. And I don't even mean bringing all these guys into, you know, being organic certified and regenerative certified. Let's just get them started with the right practices.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get that far along, and they can decide that. But overall, here again, it's a long-term deal. But overall, it's going to reduce the cost of food. And it's going to probably reduce the cost of healthcare. Those are themes that are not going to go away, and I think they're front and center every day.
Okay. There's got to be a way to transition from here, to there.
Absolutely. I don't know that it can be done, to be honest. You know, this is such a divided country now for ridiculous reasons.
Mm-hmm.
As with most things, it may just come to, as you say, we might just end up having to hit that wall, and if there's anything left, we can reconfigure.
I don't know if that's it's true. I know that brick walls are out there. How far you need to go down that route towards them before you wise up, I don't know. But I do know that if you're making a choice, there isn't a choice. There's only the hopeful one. Let's do the right thing. Let's have a moral compass to what we do and go that away. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to live it. And
yeah, you know, at the top right now,
yeah,
at the very top, president on down through the Senate, Congress, they're not thinking this way. What just happened? Our president just okayed to have 15% ethanol instead of 10 in our already subsidized fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're subsidizing more corn to go into fuel that will then make the cars that we're trying to make more efficient less efficient. So if we're talking about overall carbon footprint here, we're definitely going down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, both sides of the aisle are, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter. When it comes to farm and farm support, oh, yeah, we got to support the farmer. It's how you do that that's askew, and I don't think it's been looked into too deeply. Well, I can tell you this from personal experience, since I from the East and have a lot of family in the East, you go east of the Mississippi and most people have not heard of the Farm Bill. And that's where the population lives. So there's a little bit of a disconnect. But let's keep in mind here when we talk about the division and the this and that, you know, we are a huge country geographically. So it would be trying to, like, organize Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You take this huge country and you could easily fit 30 countries within
mm-hmm.
it. that doesn't make it any easier. But is it any one person's land, right? You own land. I own land. Is it our land?
No, I don't think it is.
We're borrowing it.
Yeah, yeah.
and we have an obligation, I feel, and this is one of the premises behind Bluebird, I have an obligation to leave this place better than what I found it, soil-wise, contribution-wise, and at the same time, I know I'm making a carbon footprint while I'm here. So it's complicated.
But you're honest about that. You're not trying to hide that fact. And truthfully, as you're talking, here's how I think it will go. It's the success stories, the small success stories. Yeah. It's Blaine's farm. It's your farm. Yeah, some things are going to get worse in places. Like, oh my God, the day came and they'll be looking around for successful farms that avoid those problems. So it is, in a way, the small guy doing it right that will be, you know, a template for...
You have to lead by example. My dad always said that. That's kind of what we tried to do. And I was thinking, as you were saying that, which I concur with, recently, in the last half a dozen years, there has been talk within the non-organic farming world about this thing called crop rotation.
Bingo. Who thought of that?
So not new news, but it's a method that's resurfacing. That gives me hope.
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, that's one way to get on the right path. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a big concern in potato ground of fungus. Potatoes are heavily fumigated. The ground is basically sterilized before they plant potatoes. And so the organic potato farmers for years have been planting a cover crop of mustard late in the summer, grow it up down in the base in the organic potato, and it'll get 6 feet high, flail it down. Well, mustard is a natural fumigant.
Oh, wow.
And totally cleanses that soil of any fungus prior to putting in spring potatoes. Conventional growers are now doing the same thing.
Interesting.
So they've cut down on their fumigants. We're getting less poison in the food. So,
yeah.
And I'm on board, and we're going to continue to try to set a good example, which some people that know me might be surprised. Really? You're going to set a good example?
You know, as you get older, stuff starts coming around. You just get on solid ground.
There's hope for all of us.
Yeah, good. So we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, that's fun.
Cool.
Bluebird Grain Farms, your source for the finest 100% certified organic ancient grains, fresh milled flour, and whole grain handcrafted blends. Bluebird's products are sown, harvested, and sun-cured with care and milled to order on the farm here in the Medow Valley in northern Washington so that you can enjoy the most delicious plow-to-package grain that money can buy. Check out the website, www.bluebirdgrainfarm.com, where you can learn more about their farming practices and shop on their online retail store for ancient grain products, local honey, sourdough starters, monthly grain CSA subscriptions, gift boxes, and more. That's bluebirdgrainfarm.com.